right, grab a seat, and if you need to grab some water, that would be fine. Just go ahead and go on inside. I'm sure water is available, or lemonade or something. And so feel free to grab that. You know, I've got kind of a roller coaster of a message to share, but I feel like before we launch into that, we need to go to prayer for a few things. Some of you noticed the situation with our dear sister Jenny. She's had a small bout with a seizure there, but we need to be lifting our sister Jenny up to the Lord in prayer for God to do a complete healing in her life. I was talking to Julie earlier. She's got Graves' disease as well as a host of other things, right? Yeah, guys, we've got a great God, and he's able to do some pretty magnificent things. Let's believe him for that, and let's be lifting Julie up in prayer. And a number of you guys heard of the tragic death of the 16-year-old girl, Kelly. Kelly, what's the last name? Sharp. And that's just horrific. And we need to lift up her family and her friends to God as they deal with the trauma of this situation. I want to bombard heaven with prayer. So I'm going to give you guys a moment to pray in silence. All right? And we're going to storm heaven here. Pray for those three precious saints, or at least two, and I don't know where Kelly was at with the Lord, but pray for her family. Let's storm heaven on their behalf, and then I'll go ahead and pray after a bit. Lord Jesus, I trust you have heard every word of our prayer of faith. Lord, I mean, stuff like this, really, it loosens our grip on this world. It makes us want to cry out to you, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. This life is not all that it's cracked up to be. It's a fallen world. It's a world with a lot of pain, hidden pain or unsuspected pain. And bam, it hits us. And God, I ask you to interject yourself into this world. Thank you so much that we can approach your throne of grace and we can cry out to you and you hear us in our time of need. I pray for Julie. I pray for Jenny. God, bless them and heal them. And those I haven't even mentioned, I'm sure there's all sorts of ailments and situations that we're facing with. God, be God here in their lives, in our lives, in this church. We're going to trust you for these things. Not a magic formula, but a God that cares, and a God that's able. And we lift up Kelly's family and all of her friends. They're in misery right now. I pray that somehow you would reveal yourself to them and you would bring about such a great comfort, such a great awakening in their lives. They will be drawn to Christ, drawn to God. They wouldn't blame you for this. They would find help in dealing with this from you. And God, I just commit these lives, these situations to you, because we don't know what else to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for being in prayer on those things. All right, so here we are. We have just finished our summer series on Heroes of the Faith. We did it. We actually finished something. We got it done. We did 11 weeks, guys, 11 weeks covering 7 biblical heroes and 4 contemporary heroes. And Bob, our great old Bob, he launched the series for us. And he called on us to believe God for a spirit of heroism and hope in our thinking and, of course, in our lives, kind of position ourselves, get ready to be a hero kind of deal. Because I think it's important that we remember something. Of all every person, all these heroes that we talked about this entire summer, they were every bit as much human as you and I are. Yeah, every bit as much. They had needs. They had insecurities. They had issues. They probably even had dandruff. on occasion. And so they were normal people. And they believed in God. And God is what made them into heroes. It wasn't simply their special set of skills or their personal disciplines. As Nina's class was suggesting that what makes a person a hero is this, they're just, oh, sorry. That would be a dangerous thing to do. They're just all that, you know, they're so awesome that they're a hero. I say they're so humble that God says, I'm going to pick you and I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to make you into a hero. And so that's, I'm going to say that's what makes a person a hero. Does anybody here remember the first hero we talked about this summer? The first one. Anybody remember the first hero we talked about? Yeah, who said that? Wow, it was Joseph. Steve-O kicked things off, and we talked about Joseph. And so, guys, as we review each hero, I'm going to ask you a quick quiz. Yep, keep you awake. I'm going to have a quiz. So here's the first one. Are you ready? Was Joseph A, my youngest brother, B, a leader in Egypt who saved the world from starvation, or C, the father of Jesus, the Messiah? Who was Joseph? Yes, it was all three. Very good. But Steve-O failed to mention my brother. So the answer is he was a leader in Egypt who saved the world from starvation. So, but good answer there. We'll see how the rest of you guys do on these following quiz questions. Joseph in the Old Testament was an incredible example. I mean, he's probably the best example you're going to find in the Bible of a man who went through great suffering. I mean, incredible suffering in his life. And yet he valiantly kept his head up. He knew that God was with him. Even through the hell, he knew God was with him and that God's plan was worth the pain. Wow, do you believe that about your life? That the hardships you go through, that God's plan is worth the pain that you go through in your life? Joseph said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." That's what Joseph said to his brothers. What God says to us, he says, "I work everything out for the good, for those who love me and are called according to my plan." That's what God says to you and to me. So we can be modern day Josephs with a promise like that. Romans 8:28, if you need to look it up, write it down on note paper, put it on your door. Romans 8:28, with a promise like that, you can be a modern day Joseph. The next hero we talked about was Ruth. Luke Hibbing talked about Ruth. So, was Ruth A, the mother of my best friend growing up, B, Billy Graham's now deceased wife, or C, Naomi's daughter-in-law who ends up marrying Boaz and becomes a part of Jesus' family tree? Which one was Ruth? All of them. Yep, they're all of them. Yes, that's what makes this such a tough quiz. But Luke failed to mention my best friend's mom. So the answer is C, Naomi's daughter-in-law. Guys, Ruth is another hero that trusted in God through a lot of hard times. Her husband dies, as well as her father-in-law and her brother-in-law. I mean, a lot of death in her life. And she lived in the country of her homeland's sworn enemy. Moab was the enemy of Israel, and yet that's where she was living. It's like, you know, not a good sign. And she lived in poverty, picking up the leftovers in fields. But rather than becoming bitter about her circumstances, she became better. Ruth becomes a better person and develops these heroic qualities of loyalty and initiative and hard work and obedience. And by doing so, she earned a good name. Ruth is a woman worth emulating, guys. And then I got to speak about Jim Elliot. Now, who was Jim Elliot? Was he A, missionary who lost his life to reach the Alka Indians for Christ? or B, a little boy that befriended an extraterrestrial, or C, one of my relatives who just celebrated his 60th wedding anniversary. It's actually A, but Elliot, you know, I could understand if you got confused by the ET reference there, but, and Jim Meyer just celebrated it. But no, the answer is A. The answer is A. Guys, the story of Jim Elliot is a fascinating story. I mean, it's a real story of love and sacrifice. And Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than that one lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jim and his four friends did in an attempt to rescue the Alka Indians from the ravages of sin and hate and revenge and murder. It was a brutal life they were living. But the story of Jim wasn't his alone. It's also the story of his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, who chose to go back to this murderous tribe. Remember the tribe that just killed her husband? She went back to them, and she loved them, and she led them to Christ. And so this story isn't just about tremendous sacrifice. It's about tremendous forgiveness. It's a real kick in the pants to us who hold back from loving and forgiving other people for the minor offenses that they cause in our lives. We need to go back to Jim and Elizabeth's example and live like them. Well, the Apostle Peter was next, or next hero. He knew something about forgiveness. And Bob spoke on this man. So was Peter A, our sound tech. Everybody look. Yeah, was it that? Was he a guy that just had a fetish for eating pumpkins, or was he a disciple of Christ who was a super apostle and led the first century church?
It was really all of them. But this Peter,
I re-listened to Bob's message. He never really mentioned Peter Schmalzried. I think it was a real oversight, but. Since he didn't get mentioned, we're going to need to go with he was a disciple of Christ. He became one of those apostles that was considered a super apostle. The major encouragement of Peter's life is that God took this rough, impetuous man, just as he was, and he made him into more than he ever dreamed he could be. I mean, he did something spectacular with this guy's life. I mean, he became more than a spokesman for the group. He became a channel of the boldness of the Holy Spirit, displaying both the power and the good sense of the Holy Spirit when under fire. So Peter became a powerful man of prayer, and he stood strong and steadfast to the very end of his life. He's a good man to be like, this guy Peter. And then it was Adam. Adam spoke on Jonah. So who was this guy? Was Jonah A, an asparagus? B, an actor and comedian who played the voice of Snotlout in How to Train Your Dragon? Or C, an Old Testament prophet who reluctantly obeyed God and as a result saved thousands of people from death and damnation, including sheep and cattle? Yeah. He failed to mention Snotlout. Can't believe that. It's one of those great actors in How to Train Your Dragon. Anyway, it was indeed C. He's an Old Testament prophet. Now Jonah was a hero of the faith because, kind of like all of us at times, he disobeyed God and even ran away from God. And I know you're thinking, wow, I thought I was the only one that has done that. No, Jonah actually beat you to it. But the thing is, what makes this guy a hero is that in the end, he made the right choice. I mean, it took getting swallowed by a big fish, but he still made the right choice to obey God and do the not-so-easy task of preaching a message of judgment and the necessity of repentance, I'm sure, to a people that he did not like. I mean, this foreign pagan city, he hated these people. They were evil people. He didn't want to say anything to them.
But God did. God wanted him to preach this message, and so he did. And I'm thinking, okay, let's not think for a minute that God is not speaking to you and me through this hero's life. God is out going to ask us to do hard things. I think heroes are the ones that choose to do the hard things. Then we spent 2 weeks watching a video segment from the documentary The Indestructible Book. We watched the segment dealing with martyrs for the Bible. Not martyrs of the Bible, but for the Bible. So, which of these heroes did not lose their life trying to get God's word into the hands and the hearts of the common person? Okay, who did not lose their life? Was it A, John Wycliffe, B, John Huss, or C, William Tyndale? Yeah, a real question here. People are thinking C. Well, that's why I made it A this time. John Wycliffe did not lose his life as a result of getting the Bible into the hands of common people. What they did with John, though, they later dug up his bones, crushed them, and threw them into the river. So, that's what they thought about getting the Bible into any language other than Latin. So, but guys, that was a powerful video of love for God and passion for the scriptures, a willingness to sacrifice for the lives of other people, for their good. They sacrificed their life and went through pain and suffering in their life so that other people could live. Guys, that's the stuff that heroes are made out of. Well, then I spoke on 2 women of faith, Deborah and Hannah. So, was it Deborah or Hannah that led the nation of Israel as a judge? Deborah. It was Deborah. Okay, so was it Deborah or Hannah that gave birth to the last judge of Israel? It was Hannah. His name was Samuel. Right. So was it Deborah or Hannah that set a male leader of their country straight for his lack of faith and discernment? Both of them. Deborah was the guy that she beckoned to come down because she was going to say, okay, lead the Israelites into battle against our enemies. He goes, only if you'll come with me. And so she had to set him straight. But Hannah was accused of being drunk by the priest who was overseeing the tabernacle. And he's like, what, are you drunk, lady? It's like the exact opposite. So both women had to set a guy straight. And women have been doing so ever since. I tell you. All right. Guys, God uses people based on their faith, not their gender. It's based on their faith. So even in a patriarchal society as Israel was, God used women to liberate his people from spiritual and physical bondage through both the traditional roles of motherhood and the unconventional roles for that time of being a national leader. So guys, don't put God or yourself in a box. Humble yourself, draw close to God, and he'll use you in ways that you cannot even begin to imagine. Now, you may not be used in the same way as our next hero, but God definitely is using Ray Comfort. He's an evangelist that made the video Evolution versus God. All right? Remember watching that? Well, in that video, Ray Comfort interviewed professors and science majors trying to find just give me one scientific evidence, that means something that's repeatable and observable, one scientific evidence for the theory of biological evolution. That was his quest. Just give me some evidence, please. So, the quiz. The best answer that he got to that question was A, Darwin's finches changing in beak size, B, bacteria developing resistance to antibiotics, or C, dead silence. Yeah, I really think that one was the best, was the dead silence one. Was that not awesome? And that would be correct because the other two examples are examples of adaptation, not biological evolution, the molecules to man idea. So adaptation was not what he was looking for. He's wanting to see an actual development of a new feature. I mean, like anything. I won't get into it, but I want to. Okay, so Ray Comfort, guys, is a man of courage and faith, taking on the giants of our day, evolution and atheism. Ray Comfort said, "It takes both courage and talent to stand up in front of fellow human beings and make them crack a smile." And he adds, "And in the same time, keep it clean." So now you know your quest. But that's what he said. He also said this: "I think the key to passion," this is a good quote, listen to this guy, "I think the key to passion, to zeal, is gratitude. Or to put it another way, the fuel to motivate is gratitude. And gratitude comes by backing up a little and realizing how much you've sinned against God and how much you've been forgiven by God." So that was Ray Comfort. And our last week, Adam ended our series by looking at Job. So, Job, was he A, what you do when you work for pay? Actually, that's job, so, all right, let's go on to the next one. B, the guy who invented the Apple Macintosh products. Actually, that's jobs. Okay, never mind on that one. C, a hero of the faith because he endured extreme trials and yet never sinned by rejecting or blaspheming God. It's a tough one. Yes, it was C. You know, guys, I think quite often a hero is someone who never loses his integrity throughout the pain and the pressures, and I will add in even the pleasures of life. He does not lose his integrity. We need heroes. We need heroes today more than ever before, right? And you are that hero. Sometimes I'm not sure why I try so hard. But honestly, guys, doesn't that sound just like, you know, some fake cartoon line? Because it is. But honestly, I mean, let's just drink some of the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. All right, let's just wake up a little bit. Who am I trying to kid? I mean, this has been a fascinating overview, and now if you take a test on, you know, heroes of the Bible, you might actually do relatively well. But who am I trying to kid? We're too small, and the problems are too big. They're too big for us to handle. And you guys know the kind of giants I'm talking about. I mean, we've got the giant of hedonism. Okay, the giant of hedonism, that's the word, means love of pleasure. All right? I mean, it's not technically wrong. The Bible doesn't say, oh, you stop having fun. I mean, but it just can consume our lives. And it just keeps us distracted from God and what he wants us to do. It keeps us sedate. Besides, the next episode of Duck Dynasty is out. So forget that one. Forget it. So, I mean, how about this giant? We got the giant of immorality. Now, that one is wrong, right? We can all agree, okay, that one's wrong. But pornography is so easy to get. It's a billion-dollar industry, and people like it so much. I saw a truck in town that says, "I, big heart, porn." I mean, you know, and don't even try dissing homosexuality, or you're going to end up in prison. And what good is that going to be? Forget about it. It's not going to happen. Or we'll take on this giant, maybe, the giant of abortion. Everyone's got the right to have a chance at life, right? But there's also this right to abort your child. It's a national law. People have been trying for decades to get that changed, and they have failed. What makes us think we're any different? I mean, let's just try out the other big A words. We've got apathy and agnosticism, atheism. No one believes in God or the gospel anymore. And if you speak about God or mention the name Jesus in public, well, you're going to be sitting next to the guy who dared to say something negative about homosexuality. No. They're just too big. Honestly, guys, who are we trying to kid? The world doesn't want heroes of the faith anymore. Not heroes for God. I guess maybe that's the key, isn't it? I mean, if we've learned anything from this whole series, we've learned that these guys were not champions for worldly causes, like they're trying to win some popularity contest. No, these guys, everybody we talked about, they were heroes for God, right? They were heroes for God. Even Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They're the ones that are going to win in the end. And in Colossians 3, the Bible says that if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And Ephesians 5, 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Guys, that's not the language of someone that's defeated. You'll inherit the earth. Raised with Christ, seek the things above, imitators of God, walk in love. And you do this for God? Is it not Jesus that said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible with God. So I don't have to give in. I don't have to give in to, let me see if I can find it here. Find it first. Yeah. I don't have to give in to hedonism. I don't have to give in to this one. Sure, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. We've been given a spirit of self-control. I don't have to give in to like a life in front of my television or playing video games as if that's the best it's ever going to get for me. No, we don't have to give in to this giant. We can overcome this one. How about standing up to immorality? How about standing up to this giant? I mean, for the love of God, I don't have to give in to an activity that results in STDs and AIDS and teen pregnancy and broken hearts and dreams. Ever since when do I have to say, oh, that's okay. Go ahead and live that way. Oh, sure, if it feels good, do it. No, we don't have to surrender to this giant. We don't have to say, well, we're just wired that way, you know, because of evolution. I got to spread my seed around. We don't have to give in to this giant. We can overcome this one. We can actually live lives of holiness for God. Or how about this one? The abortion one? Guys, this one isn't just un-American. It's un-Christian. Jesus died that we might have life and have it to the full. Jesus, if anyone is, Jesus is a champion for life. And so should we. Even if it kills us so that other people might have life, we would be following a really good example. Even William Wilberforce lost his life to end the abortion industry, or a slave industry. And lastly, you know, we got apathy. I could care less about that one. How about atheism, agnosticism? It doesn't have the answers. Why do we have to cower in fear to these guys? All they have is questions. Oh, if there's a God, then why is there evil and suffering in the world? That's not an answer. That's not like, whoa, that's a question. If you're asking a question, like, get ready for an answer. But they don't have answers. They just got questions. Believers in Christ, we've got answers to the questions that people are asking. Is there a God? Why am I here? What happens after I die? What's the point of all this? Why do bad things happen to good people? We've got answers to questions, and we can boldly share the truth in love because we have received power from the Holy Spirit when he came upon us. So guys, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Because of Christ, through Christ, with the filling of the Holy Spirit and the help and the aid of the Scriptures, you really can be a hero. You really can be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the men and the women who have gone before us, facing the same fears, the same pressure that we do, and yet they overcame it. With the power of God, with the promises of God, they overcame it, and they became heroes in their day. Now it's our time. This is our time. This is our chance. This is our opportunity to be heroes for God and do those things that other people are too scared to do. Help us, God, to overcome the giants in our own lives and to overcome the giants in our world that are ruining people's lives. Thank you, God, for this great life that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.